Good morning and welcome to our worship today. Today is the second Sunday now in the season of Lent. And the focus of our service is to follow Jesus. It requires at times that we must carry our cross, which means that at times our faith can bring us burdens. But through the cross of Jesus, we have great news. Heaven is open and we can rejoice even in our sufferings. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Almighty God, you see that we have no power to defend ourselves. Guard and keep us both outwardly and inwardly from all adversities that may happen to the body and from all evil thoughts that may assault and hurt the soul. We ask this in our Savior's name, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve him as his dear children. But we have disobeyed him, and we deserve only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, we are altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways we have sinned against you. We do not deserve to be called your child, but trusted in Jesus, our Savior, we pray, have mercy on us according to your unfailing love. Cleanse us from our sins and take away our guilt. Dear friends, God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all of our sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed our guilt forever. We are his own dear children. May God give us strength to live according to his will. Amen. Our scripture lesson is from the gospel today, from Mark chapter 8. We'll read verses 31 to 38. The suffering of our Savior was real, just as the resurrection that followed his suffering was real. The cross of the Christian is also real, as the glory which follows is real. In both cases, we see that no cross, there's no crown. Let's hear the words beginning in verse 31 of chapter 8. Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the experts in the law, be killed, and after 3 days rise again. Jesus was speaking plainly to them. Then Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. But after turning around and looking at his disciples, Jesus rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You do not have your mind set on the things of God, but the things of men." Jesus called the crowd and his disciples together and said to them, "If anyone wants to follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. After all, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? In fact, whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." This is the gospel of our Lord. We confess our Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We turn now then to our message for today, which comes from the Old Testament lesson appointed for this second week of Lent, from Genesis chapter 28. We'll begin reading at verse 10. Jacob set out from Beersheba and traveled toward Haran. He came to a certain place and decided to spend the night there because the sun had set. He took one of the stones from that place, put it under his head, and lay down to sleep in that place. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway set up on the earth with its top reaching to heaven. There were angels of God ascending and descending on it. There at the top stood the Lord, who said, "I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. The land in which you are lying, I give to you and to your descendants. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. In you and in your seed, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Now I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back again into this land. Indeed, I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised to you." Jacob woke up from his sleep, and Jacob said, "Certainly the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it." He was afraid, and he said, "How awe-inspiring is this place? This is nothing other than the house of God, and this is the gate to heaven." Dear friends in Christ, if you had an opportunity to drive by or see the church sign today, the sign reads, "Blessings abound, just look around." That's not an original one, but at the same time, it's one that so often is forgotten. Do you ever realize how many times a conversation is filled with grumbling and complaining? And I would think that you would agree with me that it's not always fun to just sit there and listen to somebody grumble and complain. Yet even knowing that truth, it is so easy to be a part of the wine club. No, I don't mean W-I-N-E. I do mean W-H-I-N-E. I can be often prone to forget how good God has been and how good God continues to be. And that's why we need to hear that sign or see that sign that says, "Blessings abound, just look around." Sometimes it is easy to lose sight of God's grace. We're often able to see the greener grass on the other side of the fence and wonder when God is going to fertilize our garden so we can start living the high life. But an amazing thing happens as we travel through life kicking the stones and muttering along. God tunes out our whining, and he takes care of us, just as he has done 1,000 times before. He does it for us just as he did it for the sinner Jacob, as Jacob was running for his life, feeling all alone, despairing, frustrated. Today, God gives us a vivid reminder that no matter what, we as children of God are never alone. The lesson we have before us today brings out such a wonderful truth of one of the favorite passages in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 31:6, a passage where Moses is speaking to Joshua, and he says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." As we ponder Jacob, who had to have felt very alone and discouraged, running for his life, God's word clearly reveals that even in times of suffering, we are not alone. That is our Lord's promise, and it's our Lord's blessing. We turn then to his word for today. Most of you know that my wife and I have 3 children. I'm just going to share with you that I love one of those kids more than the other 2. That child is my type of person, loving, fun, interesting. Yes, that child is my favorite. I hope you all know that I'm kidding with those statements. In fact, it was even hard for me to say those words as I'm speaking this sermon. But that is the background of our Bible story today. Isaac and Rebekah had two kids, Esau and Jacob. Isaac loved Esau more, and Rebekah loved Jacob more, the Bible tells us. And sadly, the parents and the boys took this favoritism and this sibling rivalry to a whole new level. Instead of waiting for God to fulfill the promise that he would receive the inheritance of as the firstborn, Jacob decided to take matters into his own hand, and he tricked his blind father Isaac, and he stole the blessing from Esau. While Jacob got what he wanted, and that which God had promised that he would give to him, Jacob did lose what he had. When Esau found out what his brother had done to him, he vowed he was going to kill him. And because of that threat, Jacob was forced to run for his life with nothing but the clothes on his back. We read once again verses 10, 2, and 11. Jacob set out from Beersheba and traveled toward Haran. He came to a certain place, decided to spend the night there because the sun had set. He took one of the stones from that place, put it under his head, and he lay down to sleep in that place. As Jacob was running for his life, he must have wondered if he would ever see mom and dad again, or if he would ever enjoy the comforts of home. And what would Grandpa Abraham think of him if Grandpa Abraham was still alive? Worse yet, what did God think of him? That night, with a rock as his pillow and the ground as his bed, Jacob suffered. Suffered fear, loneliness, hate, despair, and doubt about his future. Granted, his suffering was largely his own fault, it still had to hurt, and probably hurt all the more because of that. The son who was so close to his mother would never see his mom again. You've heard the expression, "You made your bed, now lie in it." Well, that expression comes from a time when people really made their own beds. Not like you do it in the morning, but literally they made their own beds. Each member of the family would take the corn husks or whatever it was, and they would stuff it into whatever they could find that would serve as their mattress. And if they didn't pack the cloth or the skin carefully and tightly, their bed would be lumpy. Today, the expression means that each of us is responsible for our actions, and we have to face the consequences of our actions. Sadly, we all have to admit that sometimes our beds are very lumpy. Like Jacob, we suffer because of our sinful actions. Not all of our suffering is a direct result of our own sins. Many times it is. The suffering proves it. Yet in our clouds of suffering, there is a silver lining as we see God's grace, his love. After a hard day's journey, during which Jacob must have kept looking over his shoulder for his angry brother, he laid there that night thinking about everything he had done. And you would have expected Jacob to have nightmares of his brother chasing him, his father Isaac shaking his head in sadness at the deception. But instead, Jacob received the most comforting dream he had ever seen. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway set up on the earth with its top reaching to heaven. There were angels of God ascending and descending on it. In the dream, Jacob saw a ladder that was firmly planted on the ground, but stretched all the way up to heaven. On that ladder, Jacob saw angels ascending and descending. But best of all, he saw God. Our text goes, "There at the top stood the Lord who said, 'I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, the God of Isaac. I am with you, and I will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back again into this land. Indeed, I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised to you.'" With the angels on the ladder, God assured Jacob that he was not traveling alone. In the midst of the problems and sufferings of this life, many times caused by our own sinfulness, my friends, we are not alone. Not ever. Never. And that's one of the many great blessings that you and I and every believer possesses simply by God's abundant grace. In this dream, Jacob sees God standing at the top with his arms out, offering his grace. God in his grace has revealed to us his faithfulness and his promises and his blessings. What a blessing it is to know that no matter what sorrows we are facing or that we may face, the Lord is always with us. Here's another beautiful passage from Scripture. Isaiah 43, verse 2. When you cross through the waters, the Lord says, I will be with you. When you cross the rivers, they will not sweep you away. When you walk through fire, you will not be burned, and the flame will not set you on fire. During this time of Lent, our hearts are focused especially on the willingness of Jesus to become a man and to suffer and sacrifice his life for our sins. On the cross, Jesus suffered to pay for the sins that cause our suffering. Jesus' attitude was not, you made your own bed, you lie in it. Rather, in love, Jesus laid in our bed for us. How many of you have ever had a dream like Jacob's? Well, I'm sure you said you haven't, and neither have I. So how can we be sure of what God tells us and thinks of us? We get our certainty right in the Scriptures. In the Word of God, where he tells us. In his Word, God assures us that he protects and loves us just as he did the believers in the Bible. I haven't seen God standing at the top of a stairway to heaven, but it is just like looking at the cross. As we look at the cross, we can say, Jesus, I'm sorry. There are so many times, Jesus, that because of my sin, I have brought suffering into my life. Jesus, because of my sins, there are so many times I brought suffering into other people's lives, including those closest to me. Thank you, Jesus, for washing away all my sins. When Jacob awoke up from this dream, he cried out, certainly the Lord is in this place. I was not aware of it. He was afraid and he said, how awe-inspiring is this place? This is nothing other than the house of God. This is the gate to heaven. Although Jacob had started out his journey with all sorts of questions and doubts in his mind, God's word cleared those doubts and refreshed Jacob for the journey ahead. Dear Christian, if life at times seems like a big nightmare for you, let's be reminded of the fact that God never forgets us. We are on an earthly journey with God directing and guiding us. Our loving Lord has promised to never leave us, never to forsake us. Our Lord has blessed us with the comfort of knowing his promises are always true. God is near us. He sends his angels to protect us. No, this doesn't mean that the life of a believer will be easy. As we said, we also do suffer. Right now, down in the Phoenix area, today the Cactus League is starting. That is where Major League Baseball players are going through spring training. Spring training prepares the players for the rigors of the regular season and hopefully the glory of the postseason, perhaps even a World Series win. Think of suffering as a sort of spring training. It's meant to prepare us for the rigors of life. But best of all, it is meant to fill our lives with the glory of the postseason, that sure eternal life that awaits us. Trust in all of God's promises and know that God will work everything out in your life in a way that you can't even begin to dream about. God will do this for Jesus' sake. Amen. We bow our heads in prayer. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, you have brought us safely to this new day. Defend us with your mighty power, and grant that this day we neither fall into sin nor run into any kind of danger, and in all we do, direct us to what is right in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. And it's in his name we come to you and pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And my dear friends, go in peace, live in harmony with one another, serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. God bless you. Have a blessed week, and we'll have another message then this coming Wednesday, our third midweek Lenten service. God bless you.